When I was a kid, I wasn't lucky enough to live near my grandparents. I grew up in New Jersey, and my grandparents lived all the way out in Omaha, Nebraska. So we only got to see them about once a year, and going to visit them was always a big deal. And each time I looked forward to our visits to Omaha. I looked forward to seeing my grandparents waiting for us outside the airport terminal when we arrived. I looked forward to them taking us to their local zoo, which was a ritual that we did each visit. I looked forward to what they called sneak breakfasts, which was a really special morning during our trip when my grandparents would wake my brother and me up so early, before my parents were awake, and they would take us out for pancakes. And I also looked forward to watching their cable television at their house. That was always such a treat for kids like us who didn't have cable. They were nice visits to Omaha, and it was so good to be together. And one thing that also stands out to me in these memories were the times when I could see my grandma's face getting sad. She would be hugging us as we arrived at the airport, and I would hear her say, "Oh, I can't believe you're only going to be here for a week." We would be in the reptile house at the zoo laughing at how gross we thought the snakes were, and then I'd see her face fall, and she'd say, "Oh, I'm going to be so sad when it's time for you to leave." We would be pouring syrup onto our pancakes, and I would see her shoulders drop. "I've been looking forward to this visit with you all for so long. I can't believe it's going to be over so quickly." During these times, I remember feeling like I was being jolted out of the joy of being together, jolted out of enjoying each other, jolted with the icy cold splash of sadness or guilt. We never seemed to have enough time together. Enough. What even is enough, right? What's enough of anything? Enough can feel so elusive, so even unachievable. And these days, especially, I think it's really hard. We dance with others in the street when the first Black South Asian woman and child of immigrants is elected into the White House. And then we feel the icy cold splash, remembering that there is still so much work and healing to be done and so many problems to address. We get a few days of beautiful weather in November, giving us the chance to spend time with friends and loved ones safely, outside, enjoying the sunshine. But then comes the icy cold splash, remembering that we will still be facing an entire winter in this pandemic, and our time in the sun doesn't feel like enough. None of it feels like enough. But I'm so grateful to our worship leader, Suzanne, who in her reflection reminds us that there's so much wisdom that can be learned from spending intimate time with the land and with nature. Wisdom that has taught her what enough feels like. Hearing Suzanne's words actually draws me back to a Wendell Berry poem that I love. It's a poem called "The Peace of Wild Things." When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be. I go and lie down where the wood drake rests his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. In this poem, Barry never once uses the word enough. And yet to me, that's what this poem embodies. This poem feels like enough. It feels like Wendell Berry is describing an experience of enough. And also, each time I read this poem, the words themselves, those words on the page, they feel like enough. It makes me exhale. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Perhaps the reason this feeling of enough can be so elusive is because enough only exists in this moment. Perhaps it's something we can only access right now. We can't grab enough outside of this moment. This one, right now. Or maybe this one, right now. Or perhaps this one, right now. The wild things do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. Right now, the water is still. The day-blind stars are there above us, waiting with their light. I have to admit, the sermon that I am preaching right now is wildly different from what I thought this sermon would be when I first chose the title, Enough. And I'll also admit the story Kim and I shared with you earlier was wildly different from what I thought that story would be when I planned to write a story about squirrels gathering acorns under the theme of enough. Because in a world of capitalism and comparison and competition, we have been taught to think that enough is simply a word used to demonstrate an amount. I don't have enough money to buy that. I don't have enough time to do that. I'm not old enough, young enough, smart enough, good-looking enough, strong enough, happy enough. But I love how our reading today by Lynn Twist makes the disclaimer that when talking about enough, when Lynn Twist is talking about enough, she's not talking about an amount. Sufficiency isn't two steps up from poverty or one step short of abundance, she says. It's an experience, a context we generate. It's engaging life from a sense of wholeness rather than a longing to be complete. But it can be hard to live this when we do live in a world that is built around capitalism, comparison, and competition. When struggling to have the amount of money needed to put food on the table is a lived reality for so many. Living into an experience of enough in this moment, though, does not negate that, or gloss over it, or ignore it. It's not an experience that tells us that we shouldn't want anything or need anything, or that we should just appreciate what we have. We can feel welcome to grieve and wail at the doorstep of tragedy and injustice. Injustice created by systems and structures. We can feel moved and called to fight for a better world. And we can also feel invited to lean in to experiences of sufficiency in any given moment. The wild things that do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. The presence of still water. The day-blind stars waiting with their light. The enoughness that is the birthright of existence. And one thing I think we can learn from Suzanne and Pasha the Squirrel and our reading from Lynn Twist this morning is that honoring this birthright, drawing ourselves deeper into experiences of sufficiency and enoughness, also draws us closer to the world around us and to the world that we, as people of faith, aspire to create. You are enough. This moment is enough. May it be so, and amen. And now, at this time, we are so fortunate to have the chance to experience Beethoven's piece, O Welsh Lust. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a beautiful and moving piece offered by our music director, Steve Seek, who has powerfully reimagined it for our current context of the pandemic. A time that reminds us how even just appreciating a breath can be an experience of enough in a single moment.